Time for the latest world sport now from the BBC with Aaron Armstrong. Coming up, we're live to Melbourne for the latest news from the Australian Open tennis. An FA Cup and Premier League double is still a possibility for Manchester City.
Now it's Kolarov. Kolarov thinks about a shot, shoots and scores for the first time for Manchester City and puts them into the fourth round.
And a former England rugby international prepares to resume his career following a ban for using cocaine.
That whole experience, getting banned, all led to where I am today. And I'm, you know, genuinely a lot happier person and in a lot better place.
More from Matt Stevens in a short while, but we'll start in Melbourne, where the top seed Caroline Wozniacki and the 2004 champion Justine Henin are both through to the third round of the Australian Open tennis. Our reporter David Law joins us now. David, fairly comfortable victories for both women.
Yes, absolutely. Henin in particular, she was in sublime form, defeating Elena Baltacha for the loss of only four games. She did take a worried look at her elbow, which she injured at Wimbledon 6 months ago and kept her out for the rest of 2010. But she's certainly played as if she was fully fit today. After breaking serve in the first game, the scene was set for Henin to dominate, and so she did, moving her opponent around the baseline, finishing points almost at will. She sealed the first set 6-1, the second more competitive, but at 3-all, Henin struck and raced away to victory. In the third round, she faces a fascinating showdown with Svetlana Kuznetsova, a former US Open champion. Elsewhere, the world number one Caroline Wozniacki, as you said, was in similarly impressive form, beating Vania King for the loss of only one game. They're on court now. Andy Roddick has just started against Igor Kunitsin. It's one game all in the first set.
And a bit later on, David, Novak Djokovic, a former champion, and of course Roger Federer, multiple winner. They're on later. And they may not have it quite as easy as the women, especially Federer up against Gilles Simon.
Absolutely. Simon is a former top 10 player, a man who's actually beaten Federer before in his career. That was a few years ago now, and Simon has undergone some quite serious injuries in that time, so it'll be difficult really for him to mount a real challenge to Federer. But Simon does come in form. He won the title last week in the run-up to this tournament. He's in form at the moment, and Federer, that'll be an evening match here under the lights. It's where Federer plays his very best tennis, and really, Simon, I think he'll make it entertaining, but I don't think he'll win a set against Federer. As you said, Novak Djokovic faces a Croatian, Ivan Dodig, who managed to beat his compatriot Ivo Karlovic in the first round, so that's a tussle too.
Plenty to look forward to. Thanks very much indeed, David. Now let's turn to Wellington, where Pakistan's cricketers are chasing 274 for victory on day 5 of the second and final test against New Zealand. The hosts must win the match to save the series. Let's find out how they're getting on from our reporter Brian Waddle.
Well, fascinating game and interesting times. Not exhilarating, but the test hangs in the balance as Pakistan reach 110 for the loss of three. A partnership between this current pair of 68 runs restored them after the loss of Muhammad Hafiz's wicket at 42. But it's the two key batsmen for Pakistan, Yunus Khan on 48, Misbah ul Haq on 20, who carry the hopes of Pakistan to get through to their target of 274. They still need another 164 runs, but they have 7 wickets remaining. But these two are the key players in Pakistan's efforts. Daniel Vittori is out of the attack at the moment, is expected to play a part later in the day. Still hasn't got a wicket, even though it's the fifth day of the test. It's Chris Martin who got the early wickets, 2 for 47, along with Southee, who got 1 as well. So, exciting concluding stages coming up later on this afternoon. It's 110 for the loss of 3, still 164 away from victory.
Thanks, Brian Waddle. One more piece of cricket news. India have won the third one-day international against South Africa by 2 wickets in Cape Town. They reached the target of 221 with 10 balls to spare. Football next. Manchester City are through to the last 32 of the English FA Cup after a 4-2 win at home to Leicester City. It was a third-round replay, and watching at Eastlands was the BBC's John Murray.
It was comfortable enough for Manchester City, but Leicester can hold their heads high after scoring twice in both games. And after Lloyd Dyer made it 3-2 late on, there were a couple of uncomfortable moments for the Premier League side before Alexander Kolarov's first goal for the club settled it. It was 3-1 at half-time, Tevez opening the scoring in barnstorming style before Gallagher equalised with a penalty Leicester were very fortunate to get. Vieira and Johnson scored within a minute of each other, but it wasn't truly over until Kolarov's goal in the 90th minute.
Let's hear from the Manchester City manager Roberto Mancini, who singled out Carlos Tevez for his contribution, even though the Argentine missed a spot kick.
Carlos, every game, score a goal, play well, fight. against strong defenders, as a controller of the match. Only one thing, I think, penalty. Maybe. Penalty in this moment is so-so.
Now, a couple of other Premier League sides were in action against second-tier opposition. Stoke were held 0-0 away to Cardiff after 90 minutes, but scored twice in injury time to go through, and progress more straightforward for Wolves, who beat Doncaster by 5-0. Some transfer news. The England striker Darren Bent's completed his move from Sunderland to Aston Villa, where he signed a 4.5-year deal. It's understood the initial fee is around $28 million. Bent's left a club that's sixth in the table to join one that's fourth from bottom, and is now former manager Steve Bruce says everyone feels very let down, everyone connected with Sunderland, that is, every right to feel massively let down. But does Bent agree?
Steve Bruce, I'm sure he's disappointed. I'm sure a lot of people, the fans and the whole club, are disappointed. And yeah, I'm sorry it ended the way it did, but hopefully I give him, you know, I mean, 2 good years or 18 months there. Scored a lot of goals for them, and hopefully that showed my passion for the football club when I was playing for the football club. And yeah, Sunderland having a fantastic season, and as I said, I had good times there. But at the same time, I believe, you know, Aston Villa's position at the moment is false. I mean, they've finished sixth, you know, in the last few seasons of the Premier League, and you know, I always felt it's a new challenge for me, and it's something I want to be part of. I mean, as I said before, Villa are a massive football club, and you know, as soon as they're interested, I just, you know, I want to be part of it and try and help them get back up to where they should be.
And the transfer of Everton Stephen Pienaar to Tottenham has been confirmed by the London club. He signed a 4.5-year deal. In Spain, the holders Sevilla are through to the semi-finals of the King's Cup after a 3-0 victory at home to Villarreal. The first leg ended 3-all last week, and they'll now face either Real or Atletico Madrid. In the Italian Cup, a 2-1 home win over Bologna has put Napoli into the quarter-finals, where they'll play the holders Inter. And Paris Saint-Germain's quest for a record-breaking fourth French League Cup title has been brought to an end by Montpellier, who were 1-0 winners at home after extra time in their semi-final. And staying with football, Ruud Gullit has joined the Russian club Terek Grozny as head coach on an 18-month contract. In rugby union, the former England prop Matt Stevens has been speaking to the BBC as he prepares to resume his career following a 2-year ban for using cocaine. He'll be eligible for selection again from Wednesday for the English club side Saracens. Stevens still has international ambitions and has told the BBC he's returning to the sport a different person.
It's going to sound very odd, but it's probably the best thing that's ever happened to me. So that whole experience, getting banned, all led to where I am today, and I'm, you know, genuinely a lot happier person, and in a lot better place. So it's a good thing. For me, as an individual, I really think that the fresh start, as you say, is something that I needed. I needed to get away from my time there, and it was time to move on. And Saracens is a really good place for me to do that.
Is it going to be good enough to play for England?
Obviously, that's got to be a goal, and it is my goal to play for England. But I don't want to, you know, I've been out 2 years. I don't want to come. I wouldn't want to ever come across as that guy who just would assume that he's got what it takes to play. Because if you look at the England team now, over the last 2 years, it's made significant, massive improvements to their game, and I've seen that, and it's definitely something that I've got to play a rugby game before I can actually answer that question.
Matt Stevens. That's